Morning, everybody. Today's daf in the Masechta, daf Lamed Gimel. We're beginning on the Mishnah on daf Lamed Beis. Amud Beis, thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Okay, more wood talk for today. We're going to speak a lot about wood. Wood has been the topic of discussion in the fourth parak of the Masechta. We talked about the collection of wood, where to get wood from. Get wood, borrow wood from the hut, go back to the field, get wood from the field, fear wood that wasn't collected. And okay, a lot of our discussion has been revolving around the collection of wood. Yesterday we talked about the formation of the kli. We talked about taking a fist and pounding it into clay in order to form a kli. We talked about other various halachas regarded to the making of a wick. We talked about the six halachas by wicks. Okay, and now we are continuing. We're on the bottom of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis in Shavu'ah Nesecheres ve'ein chotchin niyah haniyar l'salos bo maliach. You want to roast your fish, so you're gonna put it on the grill and roast it on the grill. Okay, speak to the master chefs. They will tell you that to put the fish directly on the grill, it's probably not going to be good. Fish is really delicate to put it directly on the grill. So what they do is they put some sort of wooden plank. And you put the fish on the wooden plank, which is on the grill, and it just it helps the fish roast a little bit better. But what you can't do on Yontif, says the Mishnah, is you can't make the wooden plank. That would be forbidden. Rashi says it in the third Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, I know it's talking about grefa, but Rashi says, the misakein manahu. This is a tikkun mana. In other words, basically what you're doing by making the wooden plank to roast the fish on top of it, it's tikkun mana that you're making a kli, and it's not ochel nefesh. It's not, you're not directly working with the food. You're doing a malacha on something which is preparatory towards the food. Okay, and this would fall into the category of machshiri ochel nefesh. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. So again, the first halacha in the Mishnah is that you can't break cheres or paper in order to roast the fish on top of it. Ein gorfin tanur v'kiraim, you cannot sweep the oven. Right, their ovens not exactly like our ovens. Their ovens collapsed a little bit. The inner lining of the oven, made up of soot and ashes, so sometimes it collapsed and it caved into the center of the oven. So the Mishnah over here is talking now about sweeping the center of the oven to basically create so that there'd be no mound of ash in the middle of the oven. So the Mishnah says you can't do that on Yontif. But what you can do is you can pat it down, but you can't sweep it to the side. Now, once again, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ein gorfin as a ton of vikiraim im nafal atochem min hatafel vahatiach." Let's say some of the sides of the oven fall into the oven itself. Ein gorfin oso. So Rashi says that you can't do grefa, you can't sweep it to the side. De misakein manahu, because that's tikkun mana. You're fixing. You're making the oven. The asya kirabanan, and then Rashi writes an important point over here, just in terms of understanding the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going like the chachamim. The amri machshir ochel nefesh asire, that machshir ochel nefesh is prohibited. Remember a fundamental debate that we've discussed a couple of times over the Masechta. Most recently, we discussed it just a couple of days ago. A couple of days ago in the Masechta, whether or not one could do a machshire ochel nefesh, meaning not a manipulation with the food, but something that will help me prepare the food. So like making a knife on Yontif. So machshire, sharpening a knife on Yontif, that was a big discussion that we had a couple of days ago. So machshire ochel nefesh, machlokus between the Tanakhama and Revi Yehuda. The Tanakhama says that you cannot do machshire ochel nefesh on Yontif. Revi Yehuda says that you can do machshire ochel nefesh on Yontif with one proviso, and that is that was E.F. Sharlaso, the mayor of Yontif. There was no way I could have done it before Yontif. So if the oven, if part of the interior of the oven collapses, you can't sweep out the interior of the oven, because this falls under the category of machshire ochel nefesh. What's the malacha? The malacha is tikkun mana. You're making an oven. What you can do, says the Mishnah, is mechavshin. You can take it and you can pat it down. Rashi mashkiven es ha'efer va'afer she'chalak. Basically, pat it down so it's nice and smooth, but you cannot sweep it to the side. Okay? Ad kan, we move on in the Mishnah. Ein makifin she'chavias l'safas alemas ha'kadera. You can't put two barrels, you can't take two pots and put them one next to another. No, I was right the first time. You can't take two barrels and put them side by side. Right, the word makifin, says Rashi, means to put them near one another and put a pot on top of it. Why not? In other words, what's the issue over here? Rashi says, asiyas ohel. I'm making a tent. Now, I know, I understand this is not a traditional tent. I mean, who's living in that area, in that interior space that you created? Okay, but still, but in other words, you're creating a space. The chavios, the barrel serves as the walls. The keder that you place on top is considered the roof. And so therefore, it is a makeshift ohel. And therefore, it would be prohibited to do this on Yontif. Ain samchen es hakedera bebaka'as. You can't put the keder on top of wooden beams on Yontif. V'chein bedelis. And the same thing is true regarding a door. The Gemara later on is going to ask, what are you doing? You're putting a pan on top of a door? That's a little bit strange. What exactly is the Mishnah talking about? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to try to clarify that point in the Mishnah. You can't lead an animal with a stick on Yontif. We're not talking about ripping the stick off of the tree on Yontif. As we already discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, that's prohibited. But what the Mishnah here is describing is you have a stick in hand, and you want to use the stick to beat the animal, to get the animal to walk in a particular location, so that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Matir, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says that would be permissible, and the Gemara will explain what exactly is the position behind Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. What's behind the position of the Chachamim? Why can I not take a stick and use it to beat an animal on Yontif, just to direct the animal in a particular direction? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains that the Havamina of the Mishnah, which we're going to talk a lot about today, is Mishum. Look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Ain mishtamshim be'etzim shelo nasu kli me'ber of yomtov delo nitnu ela lahasaka. When it comes to wood on yomtov can only be used as fuel for the fire. I cannot use pieces of wood on yomtov for any other purpose. Okay. It's interesting. In other words, you could have argued, and we'll talk more about this over the course of this morning. This idea is going to come up a couple of times. You could have argued, since it's Yontov, and I could use the wood to make for the fire, so therefore wood is no longer muksa. And any need I have with wood, I could use for whatever I want. We're going to see a couple of times over the course of this morning that that's not the case. When it comes to wood, the wood is fundamentally muksa, with a license, with permission, to use it as firewood on Yontif. But it's not that wood now becomes carte blanche mutter, and I could use it for whatever I want. Wood, even on Yontif, is still only limited to be used as firewood.
Even if it's his cane?
Well, no, in other words, no. If it's his cane, so that was prepared before Yontif. We're just talking about pieces of wood lying around. Right, we'll talk later this morning about, basically, I have a little piece of wood that I find on my front lawn. Can I use it as a toothpick on Yontif? Now, I could use it for fuel for my fire. I could take it and put it in the fire. So can I use it as a toothpick? Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to discuss that later this morning. Okay, we are up to the Gemara. We're on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. We just finished the Mishnah. We're up to the Gemara. My time and Mishnah didn't come a sake mana. So in terms of just a simple understanding of the beginning of our Mishnah, not to break a piece of cheres, to fry the fish on top of it, or to grill the fish on top of it, or not to break off a piece of paper. I know paper's funny, it'll burn. Okay, in other words, obviously we're talking about a thick piece of paper, maybe some sort of papyrus, whatever the case is. Not to break off a piece of paper and to grill fish on top of it, because by breaking it off, you're fashioning a kli, and that's tikkun mana. Vein gorfen tana v'kirayin tani rabbi chia bar yosef kamei derav nachman im I efshar la'afos ela im kein gorfo mutter. What if I needed to cook? Meaning, right now, some of the interior wall of the oven has collapsed and is now sitting in the middle of the oven. And right now, I know the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do grefa, but I can't cook, meaning the oven now becomes totally unusable. So the Gemara quotes a brisa in front of Rav Nachman, and the brisa says, im e efshar, but I have no choice, and this is the only way that I'm going to be able to roast, is by sweeping the oven, so then it would be okay. Take a look at Rashi. There's a one-word Rashi. I'm not even sure if it's one word. Three-letter Rashi. Right? The first Rashi in the Gemara, Imi Efshar V'chulei Mutter, Ki Rebbe Yehuda. Rashi says, because they're holding like Rebbe Yehuda. Remember, the Gemara's conclusion on Machshir Yochel Nefesh. What was the Gemara's conclusion on Machshir Yochel Nefesh? Really, the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. But I wouldn't go public with that information. Right? That's the lashon of the Gemara. Chav Chesam Beis. Remember? Do I remember? Okay. Right here, the Gemara presents the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Oh, it's Chav Chesam Beis. Okay, here. Toward the top of the Amud. Okay, sorry. Towards the top of the Amud. The Gemara says in Chaf Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the top of the Amud, the Kasavar Halacha, the Ein Marin came. Right, the halacha really fundamentally is like Rav Yehuda. Machshir Ochel Nefesh that Iyashal La'asos Amir Rav Yontif is really permitted, but you don't go public with that information. You don't broadcast that information. Okay, so the Gemara over here, it's a good illustration. I mean, the Gemara over here says, Grifa Ketuma, Grefa Satanur, right, the sweeping of the oven. So can I do it? So the Mishnah says no. But then the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? If it collapsed on Yontif and I can't cook and I have to do it, so then the Gemara says you could do it. And as Rashi over here points out, because really fundamentally the halacha goes like Rav Yehuda. Continuing in the Gemara, Devasai de Rabbi Chia, Nafal Allah, Aricha Betanur Rabbi Yumatava. The wife of Rabbi Chia had a brick fall into her oven on Yontif, meaning a brick collapsed into her oven. So Amale Rabbi Chia, Chaza Dani Rifta Mal Yasabina. So Rabbi Chia says to his wife in a somewhat not straightforward, but a somewhat circuitous route, basically says to his wife, it's okay, take care of the oven. Meaning he says, the quote is, Ana Rifta Mal Yasabina. I like good bread. In other words, the oven needs a little bit of sweeping. Sweep the oven. Amalei Rav Lashami Tavali Bar Ivza V'izdar Mecharucha. Rav says to his attendant, "Roast for me a goose on Yontif, and you know I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it burnt." And as Rashi explains, what is he saying to his attendant? Meaning you need to sweep out the oven a little bit. Right now, there's a pile of coal and ash in the oven, and if you put the goose in the oven right now as it is, the oven's going to get burnt, and you're going to need to sweep the oven. Sweep the oven. Amalei Rav Inla Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Acha Mehutzal, Demar Sharkin Le Tanura B'Yumatava. Another halacha when it comes to an oven on Yontif, and that is that you could take a little bit of mud in order to seal the oven. So I'm not exactly sure the visualization over here, but basically there was some cover for the oven. Remember, they put in things into the oven from the top. We go in from the side. They put it on the top, and they have some sort of seal on the top, and they actually sealed it with mud. So, I'm sorry, Demar Sharkin Le Tanura B'Yumatava. So, it basically, he asked them in the form of a question. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to seal the oven with mud? And what's the problem? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, we're going to have to be kneading. In other words, we're going to take dirt and we're going to take water and we're going to knead it together. And that's Lisha. And you can't do that. And Rashi writes, Sharkin Le Tanura, third white line on down, Avde Adone Tachin Svivos Kisui. We put around the lid of the oven. Piatanur Betit Shalo Ishalo Yetze Chomo. So basically the heat stays inside of the oven. Kishatzli Batochisharuch Kashalitzli. You really don't want any ventilation. You want it to be airtight. Vitamalan Milsa. And Rashi points out, explaining the Gemara, that this whole thing is difficult to us. Digibletit Tolada Delishahu. It's a subcategory of Lisha and isn't that prohibited. Now it's interesting because, again, going back to what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, kneading dough on Yontif is perfectly legitimate. Okay, but that's food. In other words, that's kneading food. We're not talking about kneading food right now. We're talking about kneading dirt. In other words, creating mud.
When you're playing mitoch here.
Right. So I'm assuming, I'm not sure, but I'm assuming that mitoch is... I was ready to ask why not. It's mitoch on machshire, meaning it's not ochel nefesh itself. It's machshire ochel nefesh. Okay, I think the question is stronger than my response. Going to be honest, but okay. So why not? So Marshaklan Temer Yumatava Amale Anan Arkata de Prasam Chinan. No, the mud was already prepared. I went right to the bank of the Euphrates River. I took mud from the bank of the Euphrates River. That's what I used. I didn't actually create the mud on Yontif. Vahani Miluhu Ditsari Me Esmal. Now the Gemara points out, okay, but keep in mind, that's all great. So you didn't violate the Malach of Lisha, but Moksa, right? So he says, I went over there before Yontif and I marked my spot before Yontif. Right? Sire Me Esmal. Yesterday before Yontif, I went and I marked the spot. So I would not be violating the Isser of Muksa. I'm Ravina Vikitma Share, and Ravina makes one last point. you want to seal your oven on Yantiv, and you didn't have prepared mud before Yantiv, and you don't live by the bank of the Euphrates, what do you do? So he says, ashes. Yeah, that's fine. No.
It's a
temporary seal. It's not really an adhesion. It's just a way of keeping the steam inside, the heat inside. Okay. So ashes are okay. It sounds like from our Gemara, the simple reading of our Gemara is that taking ashes and water, mixing together, making a paste, that's not gibel. That's not considered a form of kneading. Take a look at Tosos. We're not going to go through it. Right, so the Tosos over here has a difficult time. The top Tosos on the summon has a difficult time understanding the difference between using dirt to create mud versus using ashes to create some mud-like paste. Okay, that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Right, good. Okay. We're at the two dots. We're on the towards the bottom of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. We're continuing in the Gemara. Ema kifin shei chavios. Now we're talking about the formation of a tent of Vasias Ohel. The Mishnah told us that I cannot take two barrels, put them one next to another, and put a pine on top of that, because basically what I've created is a makeshift Ohel. Now, granted, it's not Ohel Keva. I mean, we all can understand, but still, it's an Ohel. It's an Ohel Arai. It's a temporary tent. I have made the walls. I created the roof over the top. Correct. But still, I hear you. It's an Ohel. So that, I mean, that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Am Rav Nachman, Avanim shel beis hakisei moter letzad dam b'yam tov. So Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman opens up this discussion with a leniency. And let's say you want to make a bathroom. Okay, now remember, bathrooms in the good old days, okay, there was no indoor plumbing. You went outside, and not only did you go inside, but there was no toilet seat. So what you did is you took two stones and you put one on side, one next to the other, and you sat on top of the two stones. And that was your bathroom. So now the Gemara, it's obviously a delicate discussion, but now the Gemara is wondering. The Gemara is not wondering, but let's wonder together. In other words, and I know it's such a delicate discussion, but over here, in other words, I'm taking a stone, I'm taking another stone, I'm putting them side by side. I'm sitting on top of it. Oh well, oh well. So right, oh well. So Rav Nachman says no, it's fine. So Rav Nachman says no problem. Avanim shel beis hakisei mutar letzad adam b'yam tov. So you can put them side by side in yam tov. So Israel, the Rav, Rav Nachman. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, look, I'm happy with the kula. I just don't think it works. Meaning, let's go back to our Mishnah. Ein makifin shtei chavias l'safos aleim esekadera. The Mishnah says that I cannot put two barrels side by side in order to put the kadera on top. And how could you tell me then? Look, we all know what the conclusion is going to be. It obviously is okay, but let's understand why it's okay.
But isn't there a dimension requiring one fach, three tefachim, top bottom?
Okay, yes. The answer to your question is yes. In other words, even by Ol Arai, there still has to be a minimum shear of a tefach. So Amalei Shani Asa Mishum Dekavid Olah. So the Gemara says, well, it's different over there in our Mishnah because you're creating an Olah. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabba Zuta leRavashi elamehata bana itzba b'yamtov delo avin ola hachinami deshare." I understand. You make an itzba, right? A pillar on yantiv, and you make it, and it's permanent, and okay, and you're starting the construction of a building just by making a pillar. And what do you tell me? What do you want to tell me? Well, it's binyan. It's a siyasawa. Amalei Hasan binyan keva asr Torah binyan arai lo asr Torah. So the Gemara says, okay, let's break it down to its fundamental components. Look, when I build an itzdaba, the Torah says you're not allowed to make a building. That's what's called binyan keva. Any malacha in the Torah has to be keva, has to be permanent. So over here, binyan keva, it's permanent. Hasan binyan keva asr Torah binyan arai lo asr Torah. But if I'm only making binyan arai, if it's only temporary, like the barrels and the pot that you put on top, like the makeshift bathroom that you're making outside so that you can go to the bathroom, so those are all binyan arai. Those are all temporary. That, in other words, it doesn't even start with a biblical prohibition. The gazra banam binyan arai, mishum binyan keva. Obviously, why does our Mishnah say that you're not allowed to put two barrels side by side and put a pot on top of it? That's only binyan arai. Okay, it's only binyan arai. But the gzera, the chachamim made gzera. Once you start making any type of ohel, So it's going to, you're going to lead to the formation of Binyan Keva. But in other words, but let's understand that all falls under the category of Isidur Rabbanan. V'ha chamishim kvodo lo gazer be Rabbanan. So probably you saw this coming, but over here we're talking about going to the bathroom. We're talking about kavod abrios, human dignity. So human dignity is always a consideration. It's not right. It's not the end. It's not going to be the matir, right? The Gemara in Brachos. We had this discussion. I know this takes us back to the beginning of the Daf Yomi cycle, but in the beginning of the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf, Daf Yutes, thereabouts. So the Gemara says that even kavod abrios has its limitations, but to override an issur derabbanan. So that's totally allowable. So even though in Achinami, you are going to be creating an ol arai by creating your makeshift bathroom outside, but it's binyan arai, it's not binyan keva, kavod abrios would allow us to do so. Amar Rav Yehuda, I'm adurta melamata lamata shari melamata lamala asur. You want to make a bonfire. How do you make a bonfire in Yantiv? Okay? Now, when the making of a bonfire, right, log bomber is coming up. Okay? We're going to be in the discussion of making bonfires. Although it's not a Shabbos. What's it, Sunday this year? Sunday. Okay. So but you want to make a bonfire on Yontif. So how do you do it? Meaning the fire itself is not the problem. The problem is creating the structure, the actual logs. What do? You make basically a stack of logs, all right? And almost like a little hut. So how do you do that on Yontif? So Rav Yehuda gives us the solution. Hi Madurta, if you're gonna make a bonfire, Milamala Lemata Share. You start from the top and you work your way down. Now I understand engineering wise it's a little complicated. I get it. But see, you're right, you're gonna need more than one person. But basically you hold up the higher logs and then you put the lower ones below it. So in other words, if you start from the top and you work your way down, that would be okay. It's a shinui. Remember, we're not talking about a permanent structure, so it's not a binyan keva, it's a binyan arai, and within the world of binyan arai, so the Gemara is telling us that there are certain, under certain circumstances, it's going to be okay. Even though, again, you could have simply argued, look, sof to sof, when all said and done, you made a binyan arai, but again, because it's only a binyan arai, because it's only asmid the rabbanan, so there are leniencies. So if you start your way from the top and you move your way down, so that would be okay. And the Gemara says this leniency is not only true by making a bonfire. We're now in the top of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. V'chein be'yasa, v'chein keder, v'chein purya, v'chein chavita. Truth of the matter is, this leniency would help in any area of making an ol arai on Yontif. Eggs, if you're stacking eggs.
Even the case of the Mishnah.
You're stacking eggs. So again, if you're putting the base eggs on the bottom and you're putting eggs on top of that, no. But if you put the eggs on top and then you put the eggs underneath, that would be okay. Same thing is true with the kedera, right? Rashi says exactly the case of our Mishnah, second Rashi in the Amud. Shemoshivan al gabi al beis chavios. I'm putting the pot on top of two barrels. Lo yikifem tchila v'achakach yoshiv hakedera aleim ela. You take the pot, you suspend the pot in the air, and then you put the barrels underneath it. So once again, if you go out of order and you start from the top and you work your way down, so that would be okay on Yontif. So, and the same thing is true with the bed, right? Rashi says, we're talking about basically the beds that you put together, right, where you put the posts of the bed and then you put the cover on top of the bed. That's also Ol Arai. So once again, you start in the top and you work your way down. That would be okay. And the same thing is true regarding a chavis. If barrels are stacking barrels, so once again, you start from the top and you work your way down. That would be okay. In somchin es hakedera bibaka'as. You have pieces of wood. You cannot lean, rest the pot on the pieces of wood. Because again, as we've said, and we're going to keep saying again and again over the course of this morning, wood can only be moved on Yontif for the purposes of fire. So the Gemara says, the wording of the Mishnah is a little tricky, because the Mishnah says, Ein somchin es hakedera bibaka'as, v'chein badels, and the same thing is true regarding a door. What? You're putting a pot on top of a door? Badels sakadacha ela'ema v'chein hadels. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about supporting the door on wood. In other words, maybe the door became dislodged. Ichveznish, I'm not totally sure. But the door becomes a little bit dislodged and you want to now put the door, rest the door on wood, you can't. That you also can't do. Okay, that's the meaning of the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan in some kinds of kedera ba'akas v'chena dals l'fish lo ninu etzim ela lahasaka. Here the Braisa says it clearly. On Yantiv, I can only move wood for the purposes of fire. I cannot move wood for any other purpose. Rabbi Shimon Matir and Rabbi Shimon allows it to be moved on Yantiv. It's very interesting. Basically, wood we almost like adopts like a Rabbi Nechemya idea of muksa. Remember, just in yesterday's daf, we learned together the opinion of Reb Nechemiah. Reb Nechemiah says that on Yontif and on Shabbos, you can only move a kli for its primary purpose. Now, we don't paskin like Reb Nechemiah, but when it comes to wood on Yontif, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it this way. This is my explanation. Again, take it for what it's worth. But on Yontif, basically, when it comes to wood is not like carte blanche. I can move it whenever I want, wherever I want. It can only be moved for the fuel, for the fire. Now again, if I fashion the wood before Yantav as a particular kli, that's a whole different story. We're just talking about firewood over here. Basically, pieces of wood. And then the Braisa continues, and the Braisa says that I cannot lead an animal using a stick on Yantav, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it would be okay, it's mutter. So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, so the Gemara says, now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is holding like his father, right? His father's Rabbi Shimon. His father's lenient in Muksa, and that's why he allows you to take the stick and hit the animal with it on Yantav. So the Gemara says, "Lo, b'hafil Rabbi Shimon moda mishum demechse kamanda azal lechinga." So the Gemara says, "No. What the problem is that the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon prohibits hitting the animal with the stick on Yantav. Even Rabbi Shimon." Okay, I apologize. Even Rabbi Shimon would not allow you to use the stick to hit the animal. Yes, it's true, he's makel by the halachas of muksa, but over here there's a marasayin consideration. Marasayin consideration is that you're taking an animal, you're leading with a stick, it looks like you're going to the marketplace. It looks like you're about to do commerce. And because it looks like you're about to do commerce, so therefore, it would be prohibited. Interesting, doing commerce on Yantiv is not an Issa D'Araisa, that's an Issa D'Rabbanan. So what do you see from this Gemara? We're talking about Maris Ayin on an Issa D'Rabbanan? Okay. Although, I'm not sure if that point is totally so straightforward. Meaning, you could say that commercial activity on Yantiv is not just a simple Issa D'Rabbanan. You remember we quoted Pesukim from Nechemiah that spoke to the idea that you're not allowed to engage in commerce on Yantiv. Okay. Chazra. Okay. A one-word introduction to the following discussion. Chazra. Look at Rashi. Rashi tells us what we're talking about. Anaf Eitz. Shuchad Kikot V'ray Latako B'tzli. Basically, it's finding a stick and using it to roast your marshmallows. I'm the one who inserted marshmallows into the discussion. Just helps us give us a visual. So can I use a stick as a makeshift spud? Can I use it like a roasting spit? And again, it's not a roasting spit. It's not a piece of metal that I prepared before Yantiv. It is a piece of wood that I found on the ground. Rav Nachman Asav Rav Shesha Shari. So Rav Nachman says no, and Rav Shesha says yes. So now the Gemara is going to qualify this debate. Biritiva, if it's wet, kuleyamalo pligi daser. So then it's going to be prohibited because wet wood can't be used for fuel for the fire. It's wet. I wouldn't use it. Therefore, it's muksa. Therefore, there's no disagreement. Everyone agrees that I can't use it. It's muksa. Ki pligi biyavishta. If the piece of wood that I found is dry, the one who says it's prohibited is of the opinion, yeah, I understand I could take this piece of wood and use it for fuel on fire on Yantiv. That's fine. But wood on Yantiv is limited. I can only use wood for fire. I can't use wood for any other purpose. And the one who says it's permitted says, wait a second, I'm not following. Meaning, I'm allowed to use this wood to throw into the fire. I can't use it to help me roast a piece of food? That doesn't make any sense. It should be permitted.
And it's also up on that
page. All right, correct. Agreed. So, Iga D'Amri, that's one way we're going to qualify the debate. Iga D'Amri, the Gemara goes over another way to qualify the debate, and that is, B'yavishu kolayam lo pligi d'shari. If it's a dry piece of wood, everyone's going to agree that's mutter. Ki pligi b'ritifta. It's only when it's wet. Manda asar d'lo chazi la hasaka. Because the one who says it's prohibited, because again, I can only use wood for for fuel. And the one who says that's permitted, again, according to the Ika D'Amri, we're talking by dry, we all agree it's okay. It's by wet, we're going to have a debate. Now, the one who says it's asr, it's muksam. Like he can't use wet wood for fuel. And the one who says it's mutter, if I have hesed gadol, if I have a great big bonfire, you can even throw in wet wood. It'll dry and it'll burn. Vehilchasa. And now the Gemara comes to a conclusion on this matter. Yevish tashari retif to asr. That if the wood is dry, it would be permitted. In other words, I could use it as a spit. And if it's wet, it would be prohibited. Okay. There's a really interesting Rashi at this point.
Was the question also in the past in terms of the size of the fire to determine whether it was wet or not in terms of the water?
Yeah, right. Yeah, correct. I mean the Gemara made the very same distinction over here. But again, we're talking about using a wood as a makeshift spit. And so the Gemara says if it's dry, you can. Okay, there's a really interesting and important Rashi over here. V'hilchasa. Let's take a look at Rashi. In fact, Rashi about halfway down on the Amud. V'hilchasa. Hach hilchasa aliba demandis le'mukza. So Rashi over here says, you know, I know the Gemara just concluded. And usually when the Gemara concludes, so that means that we're done. We're done with the discussion. But Rashi says not exactly. Because over here, the Gemara is assuming that we hold of muksa. The Isle Muksa Ikve. So the Gemara was Koveya the Halacha according to the one who holds the Muksa. Aval Anan, but Rashi says, but we, meaning we, the Jewish people, Rabbi Shimon Svirale, Bain Bamuksa, Bain Bedavashena Miskaven, we hold like Rabbi Shimon both on the issue of Muksa and on the issue of Devashena Miskaven. And also Rashi says we also hold like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Machshir Yochel Nefesh. So in other words, lenient. On the issue of Muksa, Rashi says we're lenient. On the issue of Davashin and Miskavin, we're lenient. On the issue of Machshire Ochel Nefesh, we're lenient. V'kulushar bein Chazar bein Smichas Kederos v'akafes Chavios umedurta v'kedera. And therefore, considering all of the above, we're going to be lenient regarding using wood on Yontif. If you want to lean pots on the wood, that's fine. If you want to put barrels next to one another, if you want to make a bonfire, all these are all fine. V'chol ha'morayim she'asru es elu lamala talmide de Rav Havu. Now all the previous samurai who prohibited these activities, they are all students of Rav. V'rav savalak Rav Yehuda b'muktza. But remember though, Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktza. The Anan Kaimalan Rabbi Shimon, but we hold like Rabbi Shimon. So Rashi over here, what an interesting Rashi. Rashi says over here, I know the Gemara made some very pointed comments regarding using wood on Yontif, making bonfires on Yontif, but all the Gemara's discussion was according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we hold like Rabbi Shimon. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's conclusion over here. So it's, we don't have a lot of precedent for this where the Gemara tells us what the halacha is, and Rashi says, no, but the Gemara was speaking only according to those who subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. We don't subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, we subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, so for us we can even be more lenient. Tosfos has a very difficult time agreeing with Rashi's conclusion. You can see the first Tosfos on this Amud Vehilchasa. So Perish Rashi Dehilchasa Ikva Liba Deman Deislay Muksa Velo Natnu HML Ala Asaka Aval Anu Dekaimalan Karabi Shimon Shari Afila Chazara Rit Tivta Vidoche Kulama Rabbi Shimon Palagamai De Pasaka Shas. It's very hard to imagine, says Tosfos, that our Gemara arrives at a very simple conclusion, at a very clear conclusion, and Rabbi Shimon's not going to agree. Meaning that the Gemara wouldn't just speak so flatly on something which is actually open for discussion or controversy. And so what you can argue, says Tosfos, is that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if the wood is wet, it's going to be prohibited. Wet wood, even according to Rabbi Shimon, is still going to be muksa. You'll make some sort of argument like that. But it's hard to imagine. Tosfos has a hard time imagining that our Gemara over here, even though the Gemara opens up with the words v'hilchasa, is not v'hilchasa. Okay, so very interesting Rashi. Okay. I didn't look it up, but I would assume, I don't know. Why not? Let me not assume. Okay. Fine. Darash Rava. We're on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're right in the middle of the Amud. Rava tells the people, the populace, Isha lo tikanas ledira eitzim li tol mehem ud. So Rava says to his community, a woman shouldn't go into the pen into her backyard where there's wood all over the place and find an ud, find some sort of spit, and if the spit pricks on yantiv, I can't take the remnants of this wooden spit and throw it into the fire, because I could use the kli, but I can't use shiver kelim. Shiver kelim. Muktza. Now, Lamed the Rava Karav Yehuda Sfirale Dislay Muktza. So the Gemara says, "How strange! How odd! You mean to tell me that Rava holds like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda doesn't hold of Muktza?" V'amalei Rava l'shamei tavli bar yizav v'shadim ma'ila shunra. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but Rava gave instructions to his attendant, and Rava says to his attendant, I want you." Second time today that we have Rava giving instructions to his attendant. I want you to cook for me a goose. And by the way, that was also Rava's instructions earlier today about the cooking of the goose. I want you to cook for me a goose. And what are you going to do with the intestines? Throw the intestines to the cat. I have no interest for the intestines. Throw them to the cat. So the Gemara, and why is this problematic? Why does this bother the Gemara? So if you take a look at Rashi, Hashlech b'nei me'ayim lechatul, take the intestines, throw them to the cat. Ula Rav Yehuda asa letata lo sito lechatul. And Rav Yehuda would say, no, you can't do that. Because the me'at mo'muchan la'adam haya. Because yesterday, it was mu'chan la'adam. Meaning it was set aside for man. V'lo leklavim, and not for dogs. Dekamim lo haisa nevelim, erev Shabbos asura. We know the halach is, according to Rav Yehuda, that unless the animal becomes a nevela yesterday, and only then was it muchan leklavim, then you can give it to the animals. But going into Yantiv, it was muchan la'adam, ain muchan leklavim. And so therefore, Rava, who allows the intestines to be thrown to the cat, does not seem to be subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara's response is, "Kevin the Mistar Chemas Mol Daita Elave." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but yeah, the intestines already started going bad yesterday, and I think I shared with you. I think I shared with everyone this past summer. I tried intestines when I was in South America. Okay, it's an experience. I'm not sure if I'm ready to repeat it, but in other words, the intestines started going bad yesterday." Huh? They don't know how to make it. Fair. Yeah. The So fine. So anyway, but the intestines started going bad yesterday. It was muchan leklavim already going into yantiv. That's why Rava allowed it. But fundamentally, Rava does agree with Rav Yehuda, and that's why Rava is telling the women of his community: if the wooden spit breaks on yantiv, it's muktza. You're holding like Rav Yehuda. Yeah, the answer is yes. Rava is holding like Rav Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi Lazar Omer. No, it's al adam kisa mishlafan of lachzos boshinov. Okay, you find a nice piece of wood right in your front of your house. Now, literally, the words are Misha Lefanov, that which is in front of him. Yeah, well, later on, we'll explain a little bit better why that phraseology. But still, you find a little bit of wood on the ground and you want to pick it up and use it as a toothpick. Rabbi Eliezer says it's fine. Umigaviv minachatzer umadlik umadlik. Now, in terms of getting kindling for your fire, go to your chatzer, go to your courtyard. Any wood you find in the courtyard is fine. You don't have to. You didn't have to set it aside going into Yantiv. The assumption is that wood in the chatzer, daita ilave. Your mind is on it. You're thinking about it. It's not muksa. Shekoma shebechatzer muchan hu. Anything which is in the chatzer is going to be muchan. V'chachamim omrim megavev mishlofanov umadlik. Rashi explains that the chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Eliezer on two points. Point number one. Taking a piece of wood that you find in front of you and using it as a toothpick? No. You can't use wood as a toothpick on Yantiv. Again, if you prepare the toothpick before Yantiv, right, you buy your box of toothpicks, that's fine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about wood in front of you. Set aside for fuel, you can't use it as toothpicks. Why? Again, I know today we're hitting this point again and again. But we're hitting the point again. Because on Yantiv, wood can only be used, if not for, in other words, just we're talking about in its default state, wood can only be used as fuel for the fire. wood cannot be used for other purposes. So point number one where the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer is that if I have wood, even if it's prepared for fire, I can only use it for fire and I can't use it as toothpick. That is contention number one. Point of contention number two, explains Rashi, is that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer about the state of wood in your chatzar. Rabbi Eliezer says, go around the chatzar, whatever you find in the courtyard, wood you find in the courtyard, it's fine, it's not muksa, it's mukhan. And on that, the Chachamim disagree with that as well. No, you want to use wood going into Yontif, the wood had to have been prepared, had to have been set aside and designated as fuel. And you cannot just simply walk around your chatzar and pick up pieces of wood here and there and use it for fuel for the fire. It's not mukhan, it's muksa. Huh? No, but Rava, no. Rava said previously that if it...
He points out
that
you could use wood.
Right. No, but in other words, he's talking about an oud. He's talking about a spit. It was a wooden spit. This is just wood that you find on the floor, on the ground. The Chacham Emor, Megavev Mishlafan of Madlik. Ein motzi anesa or lo mena eitzim v'lo mena avan v'lo mena efer v'lo mena afar. Take the next three words out of the Mishnah. Volomina mayim, volomina mayim. You can't start a fire on Yontif. Now I know it took us a while to get to this point. We're on Daf Lamed Gimel, we're on the Mishnah, on the bottom of the Amud, but here it is, here's the Mishnah that says that you can't start a fire on Yontif. Now again, fire on Yontif is fine, right? You can transfer a fire to your oven, to your grill, in order to cook. In other words, cooking is fine, and cooking obviously is going to need a fire. But what you can do on Yontif is you can't start a fire from scratch. You can't start a fire from rubbing two pieces of wood together, rubbing stones together. Mina afar, rubbing dirt together. I'm not sure how that works. Lo mina mayim, you can't start a fire using water. So obviously over here, starting a fire using water, that's tricky. How does that work? So Rashi says they were way ahead of their time. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, it's the first wide line towards the bottom of the Amud. Nos dem mayim bekli zechuchis, putting water in a glass jar. I'm sorry, bekli zechuchis levana, in a clear jar. Venos dem bechama, kisha hashemesh cham ma'od, and putting it against the sun. Basically, he's talking about using a magnifying glass, a makeshift magnifying glass. Vazechuchis motzia shal heves, omivia na'oris mishum demolid. What happened? I jumped lines in Rashi. Omivia na'oris omigian bezechuchis, and put some very flammable material right on the other side of the magnifying glass. Vihi bo eres, and it will burn because what you've done basically is you've intensified the sun by concentrating the rays of the sun on a central point. I.e., you're basically using a magnifying glass. Okay? It's right here, today's daf in Rashi. Kach shamati b'piyo yotzer shiyaset echad mega'one lombardi. Okay? And he quotes a piyot. He found it in poetry. Okay?
Why can't you start a fire?
Yes, correct. That's a good question. So I'll only tell you because I know the Gemara is going to say it. Molid. It's rabbinically prohibited because you're creating something from nothing. It's not biblically prohibited, but the Chachamim said this is like Nolad. It takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Okay, we'll see it inside. Finishing up the Mishnah, Ein malav nesaraf and latzlos behem. You can't heat up the tiles in order to cook on top of the tiles. That is the discussion that we're going to engage in tomorrow. We start with the Gemara. We're on the very bottom of the Amud. Last few words of the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda. Ochle behema ein behem yishum tikun kli. Ochle behema Rashi. Kash ale kanim. Talking about straw, we're talking about twigs. Right, soft twigs. Twigs that you would have given to your animal to eat. Ein behem yishum tikun kli Rashi. Mutar laktam, I can cut it on yantav. So in other words, although the Mishnah quoted the Chachamim, that you find a random piece of wood, you can't use it as a toothpick, but you have nice soft hay, which I could have used to feed my animal, that I'm allowed to cut in order to serve as a toothpick on Yontif. Yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, it's ochle, it's ochel. Even though it's only ochle behema, but it's ochel. To that, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa, and the brisa does not seem to support this leniency. The brisa reads, I can carry around on yontif atzei besamim so that I can smell it. So you got on yontif, you can walk around with your atzei besamim, smell it. And furthermore, well, I'm sorry, lahariach b'hem or lahaniyif b'hem, l'chola, I want to fan a sick person using basically aromatherapy. Okay, talk about the Gemara being way ahead of its time. Umololo umeriach bo. And if I want to rub it between my fingers in order to extract this, the scent, that you're allowed to do also on yontif. V'lo yikat menu lahariach bo, but you can't clip it. You know, when you take when you have a nice cinnamon stick and you cut it, it really extracts the smell, but you can't do that on yontif. V'im katma pater v'aser. And then if you cut it, it's rabbinically prohibited. Laksos boshinav. Now, if I want to cut it in order to create a toothpick, that is absolutely prohibited. Lo yikat menu v'im katma chayev chatas. And that, if you cut it in order to create it, use as a toothpick, so chayev chatas, so it would be biblically prohibited to do so. Now, you talk about a question. This is not a question. This is a bomb question. Meaning because what Rabbi Huda was permitting is you could take food, soft hay that would have been animal feed, and you can cut it to use a toothpick. And the brisa that we just quoted says, look, you're cutting it just to extract the smell, the aroma. That's rabbinically prohibited. And you cut it to make a toothpick. That's biblically prohibited. So it's a disaster, a disaster for Rava. So for Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Hashta Patav Asu Kakashuli Chayv Chatas Mibaye, meaning if you would have just stopped halfway through the Brisa, where the Brisa was talking about rabbinic prohibition, that already would have been enough to knock me out. But now the Brisa went on and says that if you cut it to make a toothpick, it's an Issa Daraisa. Like that's a disaster. But Elikitanya Ibekashin. But let me just make a very simple distinction. The brisa over here is not talking about twigs which are edible. The hard, they're inedible. V'hachi ketani. Molo mariach bo kodmo, mariach bo bemet v'amamorim. I'm sorry. I skipped a little bit. Kashin b'nei malila ninu. So Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you a simple question. If we're talking about hard twigs, you can rub them in your fingers? You can't rub them in your fingers. So the Gemara says, chesor mechzer v'hachi ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, the brisa over here is incomplete. Let's complete the brisa. Molalo mariach bo kodmo mariach bo bemet v'amamor berachin avabakashon lo yikad menu v'im katmo potter aval asar. If it's soft, you can rub in your fingers, no problem at all. If it's soft, you can even clip it, no problem at all. But if it's hard, if it's like a cinnamon stick, lo yikad menu, you're not allowed to cut it. V'im katmo potter aval asar. And if you cut it just to extract the aroma, that's rabbinically prohibited. And laksos boshinav, and if I'm cutting it so that I am going to use it as a toothpick, that is chayev chata. So then it will be chayev chata. So again, a very simple distinction between something soft versus something hard. The Gemara quotes two brises. One brisa says that I can clip in order to extract the aroma. The second brisa says I cannot clip it to extract the aroma. I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rav Chisa, lo kasha, abrach, and abakashin. So we're going to make a distinction between that which is soft versus that which is hard. Maskel, Rav Acha, by Yaakov, bakashin, amai lo, maishnan, behadit, nan. So the Gemara says, really, if it's a hard stick, a hard cinnamon stick, and I'm just clipping it just to extract the aroma, that's really going to be a problem, that's really going to be rabbinically forbidden, what about the following Mishnah? Shover adam esachav esachom imenu grow grass. I'm allowed to break open a jar on yontif in order to get the food out of the jar. As long as I don't make a kli. So breaking something destructively on yontif is fine. So what's wrong with cutting a cinnamon stick if all I want to do is extract the smell? The od. We were in the house of Rav Yehuda and mifasheach v'yavle alusa alusa. We broke off and we gave large pieces. We gave him off large pieces so that he could smell it. Right, Rashi. Maklos gedolim kamo v'lo ba'ala v'lo b'romach b'masecha Shabbos. We just gave him large pieces. So afagav dechazik lekata denarge. And even though the large pieces that we broke off were hard, and they could have doubled as handles for axes. But still, you could break it off. So, in other words, again, two brises that both speak to the idea of basically breaking hard wood. The first Mishnah told us that I could break hard wood to break open the barrel. The second brisa says that I can break open hard wood to extract the aroma. So, how can you do that? Didn't we make a very simple distinction? Soft wood, you can break open to extract the aroma. Hard, you can't. And meanwhile, two brises that said that you can. So the Gemara says, it's a machlokas. Titania, let's finish up today with this. Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Nota, Adam, Kisa, Mishalafan, of Lachsos, Boshinov, Vechachamim, Omer, Loiton, Elame, Avus, Shel Behema. Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lazar says that you want to break a stick to use as a toothpick, you can. And the Chachamim said, no. Soft straw you can break, but that's it. V'shav mishalei kamenu v'im katmo lachzos boshinov leftoch bo adels b'shogeg b'shabbos chayiv chatos b'meizi b'yomtov sofeg esar bam diver ebelazer. Now, if I'm cutting it to make a tool out of it, a makeshift key or a toothpick for your teeth, that's tikkun kli. That's tikkun mana. You're making an instrument on Yontif and on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do. But the Chachamim Omri Mechazeh Vechazeh Eino Alam Yishum Shvos. And the Chachamim say it's rabbinically prohibited. So Rabbi Lazar Tekam Rasim Chayiv Chatos Hacha Patov Al Asar. So now the Gemara says, okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, cutting a hard piece of wood on Shabbos and on Yontif is an Issur D'oraisa, if I'm making a kli out of it. If I'm not making a kli out of it, if I'm just trying to extract the aroma, it's rabbinically prohibited. And Rabbanan Tekamri Hasan Patava Asar Hachamut Lechatchila. And the Chachamim say that it's rabbinically prohibited if I want to make a toothpick out of it, if I want to make a makeshift key out of it. So if all I'm doing is just extracting the aroma, so then it would be mutter. And then to finish up the discussion, so I understand. So according to Rabbi Lazar, I'm not allowed to break hard wood on Shabbos and on Yontif. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says I can break a barrel in order to get the food inside. Rabbi Lazar, even though it's not tikkun kli, but still according to Rabbi Lazar, shouldn't it be rabbinically prohibited? I'm Rav Ashi Kitanya Ibe Mustaki. So the Gemara explains in defense of Rabbi Eliezer that Mishnah, which allows you to open a barrel on Shabbos and on Yontif to get the figs inside the barrel, is not talking about where I'm actually breaking the wood. The wood, the lid was already separated and put on with an adhesion. If the lid was put on an adhesion, that's what I could do. I could rip the lid of the barrel off, but on its adhesion. But I can't break, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I can't break wood in order to get to the food on Yontif. Okay? We'll continue tomorrow from the two dots. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akash, Rabbi Zakh, Zofi, Chachir Ben Tarmitz, Shanemar, and Chafetamantiko, Yagil Torvi Yadir.